Father, we thank you so much for the last day of winter. We're so glad that it's going to be over, and tomorrow is a new day for spring. And we come before you, we want to thank you for that. But Lord, at the same time, we want to remember those who are in Japan. Lord, we ask for your strength and your comfort. We ask that you continue to guide the workers who are trying to cool down the nuclear plants. And we pray that, Lord, you'll strengthen the people there. That through this kind of disaster, they'll know that they're not alone, that you're there for them. And Lord, we'll also pray for the situation in Libya. It's pretty messed up right there. And Lord, we pray that the people who are hurting there, they'll find comfort as well. For you're their good shepherd. And Lord, as we come before your word today, we ask that you will speak to each of us. That your word may penetrate into our spirits and help us to see that you are a good God for us. So Lord, help us to focus, help us to listen well, and help me to speak well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord be with you. Well, starting from this Sunday, we'll be taking a little break, you know, from our study on the life of Abraham. We've been doing that for the past several weeks. For I think it's kind of appropriate for us to focus our attention on the Lord as we enter into the time for Easter. And you guys know that we're entering into this season of Lent. And for those of you guys, you know, who are doing giving up something for 40 days, I hope you guys are doing well. And let me just say one thing. Can I just see a show of hands who's giving up something, you know, during this season? Okay. Now, like, you guys can, if you do the math, like, Lent starts on March 9th, and then it finishes on the 23rd of April. And if you were to do the math and calculate how many days there are, it's actually 46 days. But Lent is only for 40 days, so which means on Sundays, it doesn't really count as a day of Lent. So if you're giving up something, on Sunday you have a break. Okay? So just so that you know. Right? But so, you know, for the next several Sundays, starting from today until the 24th, we will be looking at several different snapshots of Jesus from the Gospel of John. And more specifically, we'll be looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus. The I Am sayings of Jesus. You see, in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I am something. And I am this and that on seven different occasions. And each of the I am is a description of Jesus, you know, that he uses for himself. So today we'll be looking at one of the I am sayings from John chapter 10, verse 11 to verse 18. So if you turn to your bulletin with me, you'll see the passage in there. And I will also use Psalm 23rd as our secondary passage. So without further ado, let us begin by reading these two passages together, shall we? Starting for first with John's Gospel, verse 11. Let's read it together. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Now let's turn to Psalm 23rd and let's read that together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of the Lord. There's a story of two men who were called to recite the psalm that we just read in front of a large audience of people. One was a popular voice actor, and the other was an old but experienced and seasoned preacher. So the voice actor was well trained in speech technique and drama. He went up first and he repeated the psalm in a very powerful way. And when he finished, the audience, they cheered. And they asked him to do that again as they wanted to hear his wonderful voice. Then the old preacher went up and he repeated the psalm word for word. His voice was cracked and rough and broken from many years of preaching. But when he finished, there was silence in the room. People sat down with their heads and they prayed and they meditated. And then after the evening ended, someone went up to the voice actor and asked what made the difference between the two of them. And the voice actor humbly replied, and he said, "I know only the words of the psalm, but the old preacher, he knows his shepherd well." Well, as you can tell from the passage that we just read, we will be focusing on Jesus' claim as he says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd is one of the most beloved and treasured images that a lot of believers carry in their minds about Jesus. And we see this image in stained glasses, you know, throughout churches around the world. We see this image, you know, on any number of, you know, like cushion cards that we receive or that we send. And perhaps some of us, when we're a little kid, we have that, you know, Jesus figurine, you know, like by our like, you know, like bedside, you know, with a little lamb on his shoulder. But still, you know, like, it's a powerful image. And I think we see a bit of, you kind of like that, right? Like, there's an image like that. Oh, here's another image. Okay. Here's another one, right? So we all see this image when we're growing up in the church. But before we look at the shepherd, I want us to focus on the sheep first, okay? Now, how many of you actually know what sheep are like? Now, not what they look like. I think most of us know what they look like, right? They look like that. Right? But what they're like in real life. Well, for most of us, we think about a little lamb. You know, we think they're kind of cute and adorable and everything. But if you spend enough time tending sheep, you will soon discover that sheep are perhaps the dumbest animals ever on earth. Here are a few known facts about these animals. First, they are defenseless against wild animals. You know, they don't have like claws, they don't have like sharp teeth. All they could do is bah. That's all they could do, right? So what can they do when a wild animal attacks them? They can't do anything. Second, they're totally dependent upon the care of their shepherds. They cannot care for themselves. Third, they're dirty, in the sense that if they fell into the mud, they cannot clean themselves. They have to have somebody wash for them. And then fourth, they're usually very disobedient. They tend to wander and they stray on their own. And the reason why they're dumb is not because they are unintelligent. The reason why they're dumb is because they have a very, very strong herd instinct. Do you guys know what a herd instinct is? It means the animal doesn't think for itself. It simply follows the leader. If there's like a lead sheep in the group, that's what they'll do. So for example, if the lead sheep goes over the cliff, guess what? The whole herd goes over the cliff. Or if the lead sheep decides for whatever reason not to eat from the pot, then the whole herd will starve themselves to death. That's just how dumb they are as animals. Now, the Bible says, listen to this, the Bible says we are very much like sheep. We're all defenseless. We're all dependent. We're all dirty. And we're all disobedient. Listen to Isaiah 53, verse 6, where it says this. It says, all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the reason why we are dumb is not so much because we have a strong herd instinct. The reason why we're dumb is because we have a strong sin instinct. For we tend to follow our own self-interest and self-desires. So that's sheep. Now let's focus on the shepherds. Well, for starters, shepherds are very hard to see nowadays. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, if you grew up in the city or in the suburbs, you can probably go through your entire life without ever seeing a live shepherd in action. I remember like last September, I was in Taiwan. I went up to Nantou, like, you know, up in the mountains. It was the first time that I actually saw some shepherds, you know, in action, you know, like real shepherds. But if I were in the city, I wouldn't be able to see them. But that wasn't the case in Jesus' days. You see, in the first century, every time you travel, you will see flocks of sheep dotting the hills, and you will see shepherds everywhere. And in those days, like, sheep herding is a very common profession. And most shepherds, they were hired to watch over somebody else's flocks, not their own flocks. And these hired people, they were paid basically just to do one thing, to keep the flock alive. That's all they need to do. So it's not really a difficult job if you were, you know, a shepherd in those days. I mean, all you need to do is to lead the flock, you know, to a place where they will have water and where they will have grass to eat. And when they finish that, you know, that spot, they will lead them to another patch and eat there. So, you know, all you need to do is to care for them, to lead them and to guide them. And of course, you will have to verbally call out to them, and eventually the sheep, they will know your voice. So that would be your main responsibilities as a shepherd back in those days. But there's another important responsibility as a shepherd, and that is you are to protect them. Why? Two reasons. First, there's wild animals out there. There's wolves, you know, there's coyotes, there's like, you know, like big bad bears, you know. And second, there are thieves around. They can just pick up a little sheep, you know, from you, and then they'll just like, you know, disappear. So if you were to be a shepherd in those days, you have to be really careful and look after them. Now, if you recall from the life of King David, he too was a shepherd when he was young. He had to fight off lions and bears, right, with his bare hands in order to protect the flock as well. But still, protecting the flock wasn't always the best part of the job. In fact, most of the higher shepherds, they would simply run off if the threat was too much, if like there's a pack of wolves coming towards the flock. I mean, it's kind of logical, right? Why would you lose your life or risk your own life if if there's only one dumb sheep that has gone astray? Why would you do that? It's logical. So all this information about the sheep and the shepherd give us a good general background about our passage today. And in the passage, Jesus compares himself to a shepherd. Now notice, he didn't say, "I am the average shepherd." He didn't say that. He said, "I am the good shepherd." And why? Well, he gives us two reasons. You can follow along with me inside your bulletin. Here's the first reason. If you have a pen or pencil, I invite you to fill the blanks for that. The first one is pretty obvious. It's right inside the scripture. It says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So that's the first thing, that's the first reason why Jesus is the good shepherd. Okay. So the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, whereas the average shepherd, the one who's hired, wouldn't. Jesus says, you know, when the hired hand sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. He runs because he cares nothing for the sheep. You guys see that? I mean, why would he? It's not his sheep anyways. Why would he risk his life for a herd that doesn't belong to him? I mean, that's what an average shepherd would do. But not to Jesus, for he would never, ever abandon his sheep. He never abandons his flock. Instead, he's willing to lay down his life for them. He's willing to make that kind of sacrifices. Now, the kind of relationship where one makes such sacrifice is easily compared to a relationship between a mother and a child. I mean, any mother who's sitting here today can tell you that motherhood is a life of sacrifices. You lose sleep, You lose money. You lose energy. You lose your own goals and your dreams so that you can nurture and raise up a kid. Now, I see that in Esther, my wife, as she relates to Ian. I see that in a lot of the moms here in this church who have little ones to take care of. I see that in my own mother, you know, of all the sacrifices that she made for me to become the kind of person I am today. But not all moms are like that. In fact, some abandon their own kids. That's probably the worst thing a mom could do to the child. I mean, we all heard of stories of young moms who simply dumped their infant child in the garbage cans. I mean, why would they do that? Because they cannot make the sacrifices necessary to raise a kid. But not for committed moms. Every committed mother I know, she would have to sacrifice a great deal in order to keep the child as her own. You know, she would have to put her career on hold. She would have to set aside her personal goals and dreams. She would have to delay her future plans, and she would have to buy and spend in order to buy the necessary things to raise up a child. Now, in the same way, listen to this. As a good shepherd, Jesus also knew that he would have to sacrifice a great deal in order to keep us as his own. He knew that we have been contaminated by sin. He knew that we're utterly broken and we're messed up and we should have been exterminated. It's not just one bad apple in the basket. The Bible tells us that the whole batch of humanity has gone bad. All of us are bad apples. There's not a single one that is good that's left. Not even one. And all of us deserve to be thrown away. And the only solution to the problem, and that is if the shepherd wanted to keep his flock, he would have to sacrifice himself in order to keep us as his flock. That's the only way we can be saved. And that's what he did. I mean, think about it. The kind of sacrifices that Jesus made for us. First, he gave up his throne in heaven. He gave up the praises and the worship of angels, and he became a peasant to be insulted by people. He gave up the use of his divine power. He gave up his honor, his glory, and ultimately, he gave up his life. Why? Because he refused to abandon us, no matter how much it would cost him, even if his own life. I mean, go to verse 14 to 15. That's what he said. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You see that? Now, most shepherds, they're known by their staff, right? They have a little staff that's a little bit, you know, crooked, you know, on the top. I mean, that's their trademark. And what a shepherd would do with that staff is that the shepherd would use that staff to fight off the enemies for the sheep. And the shepherd would use that staff to bring the straying sheep back home. I mean, that's what a good shepherd would do. Well, guess what? Jesus, too, has a trademark as well. But instead of a wooden staff, his trademark is a wooden cross. That's a tool that Jesus used to save us, to rescue us, to win God's favor for us. He refused to run away. He refused to abandon us. And he made that ultimate sacrifice. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And that's what he did. So that's the first reason. Here comes the second reason why Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. And that is, the good shepherd will always be with us. He will always be with us. You see, after the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep, guess what happened? You guys want to take a guess? What happened after he laid down his life for his sheep? Well, he rose again. Look at verse 17 and the first part of verse 18 with me, where Jesus says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. You see that? No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay down my life, and I have the authority to take my life up again. You see, after laying down his life for his sheep, Jesus, by the power of the Father, took up his life, and he rose from the dead. Now, do you know what that means? This means nothing, not even death, could keep him from being our good shepherd. Since he has risen from the dead, he is still our shepherd today. He is still watching over us. He is still feeding us and protecting us, and he will never, ever, ever abandon us. Now, in our life, there will always be days when we feel like we have been abandoned. We will face all kinds of problems in life. I don't know about you guys, but that's life. That's just part of life. Whether there's a medical condition, whether there's a personal issue, or relational conflict with others, no matter what kind of situation you find yourself in, there will be days where we feel like we're lost in the woods, and we feel like the wolves are around us, ready to jump in and devour us. And maybe for some of us, it's not so much the present issues that's pressing against us. Maybe for some of us, we're chained to our past. Like the Samaritan woman at the well, you know, who had five husbands, and the man that she was with when she first met Jesus was not even her husband. Maybe for some of us, we became who we are today, not so much of the things that we did, maybe because of what other people have done to us. They have hurt and damaged and crippled us. You see, a sad reality of modern life is that there is an increasing number of people whose broken past has convinced them that they are not lovable, that they are not worthy anymore. Here's a true story I want to share with you. It's just an amazing, amazing story. There's an evangelist by the name of Rich Wilkerson who once held a large revival meeting here in Seattle. It was back in the 70s or in the 80s, I think. And when he was here, you know, through his powerful messages of the gospel, hundreds of people came to know Jesus. But there were simply too many people for Rich to meet individually. But a few weeks later, after the evangelistic crusade, Rich received a letter from a young college student. And let me read that to you. This is what she wrote. She said, "Dear Mr. Wilkinson, I attended your crusade in Seattle a few weeks ago. It's my first year of college, and a group of my friends invited me to come to your crusade. I agreed, reluctantly, but I was desperate. The preceding 4 years before college were the worst years of my life, and I was willing to try anything that might help. My nightmare started when I turned 14. That was the year my uncle moved into our home. Shortly after he moved in, he would sneak into my bedroom and sexually abuse me. He threatened to hurt me if I told anyone, so I endured the abuse, saying nothing, anxiously awaiting my first year of college when I would be out of the house. By the time I entered college, I was a mess. My first year was a disaster. I slept with any guy who would have me, drank and drugged myself into forgetfulness almost every night, but I would still be awakened by nightmares. When I came to your crusade, I was at the breaking point. And when you asked us to come forward to meet Jesus, I almost ran to the front. On the 5-hour drive home, I fell asleep. I dreamed I was asleep in my college dorm room when I was awakened by my uncle again. I wanted to scream for help or get out of bed and run, but I could do neither. He kept asking me to come to him. I could not resist. I could feel myself giving up and coming to him once again, when suddenly the door to my dorm room opened again. It was Jesus with his arms wide open, beckoning me to come to him. I jumped out of bed and ran past my uncle and into the arms of Jesus. I woke up with all the girls looking at me because I was crying, saying out loud, 'I'm free. I'm free. I'm really free.'" No. What about you?
brothers and sisters? Have you been freed from your past? From your mistakes? From your current issues and struggles? Are you at a place in your life where you have lost hope? Where you're on the verge of giving up? I mean, if that's where you're at today, remember that the Good Shepherd is right behind you. He will never, ever abandon you. He will lift you up onto his shoulder, and he will carry you to safety. He has laid down his life for you. And now that he's alive, he will walk you through the storms. Now, with that said, I want to invite you guys to close your eyes with me right now as we enter into a time of prayers. Please close your eyes right now. I want you to imagine yourself right now on a green pasture, you know, with Jesus as a shepherd beside you. And I want you to repeat Psalm 23 after me. Just say out loud as you, you know, I will say a few lines and stop and just repeat after what you heard. And then when you hear the words, I want you to just think about the words and make that as your prayer before God. Let's do that. And just say out loud when you hear it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. I mean, you can say it quietly if you want. You know, just listen to those words. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, we thank you for being our good shepherd. Thank you for the great sacrifice that you have made on the cross. Thank you for rising up again, so that we will not need to face this life and its difficulties by ourselves. Thank you for freeing us. Thank you for making us whole again. Lord, with a message like this, it once again reminds us how much we need you in this life. We are dumb, we're dependent, and yes, we're dirty, and we're disobedient at times. But thank you that we're not by ourselves, prone to the attacks of wolves and enemies or thieves. Thank you for keeping us into your arms. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and lead us into a song.